Isaiah chapter number 7. I'm going to read one verse here, and then I'm going to turn to the book of Matthew, very much like the text we read last Sunday. But I want to read in Isaiah chapter number 7, verse number 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I emphasize this thought, a virgin shall conceive. Then turn over, if you will, please, to the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter number 1, I want to begin reading with verse number 20. Speaking of Joseph, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I leave off the reading there with that. This is a time of miracles, it seems. So much of the Hallmark programs you see on TV and the Christmas type program all have a theme of miracles. Years ago, and repeated every year, is the miracle on 34th Street. People talk about miracles, and it seems that this time people think about miracles. And occasionally you'll find somebody who's had some near-death experience or something, and they talk about miracles and all that thing that goes on. A miracle is a divine intervention. It's something that's accomplished that only deity can do. And I want you to know it took a miracle. It took a miracle in this passage of Scripture. It took a miracle. I'm blessed this Thanksgiving. I had all of our family together. Our granddaughter Ashton didn't get to come, and our son who lives away didn't get to come, but we talked to all of them. But it was a special Thanksgiving for me. God was good to us. And boy, that song, just blessed me. God has been so good to me. God has watched over me all these years. I was called to preach in 1967 and then ordained in 68. And for 44 years, I've preached the gospel all across everywhere. I guess I've driven, I don't know how many millions of miles I've driven. In all those years, 44 years, I've never had an accident on the highway. God's took care of me, and he's been so good to me. He's blessed me. So many extended friends and wonderful friends up at the Thanksgiving service the other night. People just one after another from churches all over the community came up and wanted to know how I was doing and been praying for me. And I see people and in town and out of town and in the mall and everywhere else, people walk up to me that I don't even know who they are and want to know how I'm doing. God's been so good to me. God's blessed my life. He's taken care of me. In all these years, I've faced many satanical attacks, and Satan's come against me in so many different ways. But God's been good to me. And I think about my personal failures, but yet God has still been good to me. As I've gone through this bout with sickness, most of you, we've talked about it, and I don't want to belabor the point, but God was good to me during those days. Only after I got better did I begin to talk with doctors and find out how really, really bad off I was. And after about 5 days of the intensive care and them doing everything and everything that they could imagine, to keep me alive. And then I thought we were better, and I got up, and I didn't even get out of the room. And I just had a bad setback, and then it turned all around and went all back over again. But God's been so good to me. And you say, Brother Billy, how did all that happen? How is it that God's done that? I tell you, it took a miracle. It took a miracle. But every person in this building, you're sitting here this morning because you are a miracle. You are a miracle. I want you to listen to Brad sing this song, and then I want to bring you a message this morning on It Took a Miracle.
Thank you. that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and though here his glory has been shown, we still can't fully see the wonder of his might, his power. 'Twill take eternity. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. The Bible tells us of his power and wisdom all the way through, and every little bird and flower are testimonies to. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in place. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me, it took a miracle of love and grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Miracles, God's divine intervention, something only God can accomplish. And I'm going to tell you right now, many of you in this building, in the radio audience, and in internet audience, you're miracles. There's a miracle of creation. It took a miracle to hang the stars and the moon and the earth. And I don't know if you've ever picked up a 5-gallon bucket of dirt or not, but it's heavy. It's heavy. And yet you think about this earth, how massive it is. And Job says he hung the earth on nothing. It's out here in the middle of nowhere. That's a miracle of creation. God's marvelous, wonderful. He's a God of miracles. And sometimes we think about miracles in other people's lives and miracles that we hear about in days gone by. But I'm telling you right now, you are a miracle sitting here today. And God is a God of miracles, and He's still doing miracles. And I thank the Lord for that. In this passage of Scripture this morning I've read to you, behold, a virgin shall conceive. He said, I'm going to give you a sign. Now, that sign doesn't mean like a stop sign. It doesn't mean like a sign that you see, directional sign or caution sign. It's not an instructional sign. It has to do with a miraculous sign that only God could do. It is a validation of what God's doing, what God's saying. He's saying, I'm going to prove to you that this is me. And he said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Here in the first place, for me to be saved, for you to be saved, it took a miraculous conception. Here's a miraculous conception. As you think about this passage of Scripture, I want you to turn with me back in the New Testament and look in the book of Luke, chapter number 1. In Luke chapter number 1, and I'll call your attention to a passage of Scripture and the account given in Luke chapter 1 of the address to Mary. In Luke chapter number 1, look at verse number 26. It says this, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. It took a miracle conception in order for me to be saved, in order for you to be saved. Here's this miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ being conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And many people want to argue that fact, and they'll take and change the translation of the Bible. They'll take the word virgin out and put a young woman in there, and they say that's a more accurate translation. I think it makes it more palatable to the human mind to think it's a young woman instead of a virgin, a woman who has never known a man, who's never had any kind of relationship with a man. And God miraculously conceived in her the Lord Jesus Christ and chose her for that. Now, we believe in the virgin birth of Christ, but we do not believe in the perpetual virginity of Mary, because afterwards in the book of Mark it's recorded that Jesus had brothers and sisters born to Mary. And so she was a woman, and when she cries out in her great Magnificat, as she cries out to the Lord, she addresses him as her God and Savior. You see, Mary needed to be saved just like anybody born in Adam's race. And so here is the miraculous, here's the miracle of the conception of our Lord by the Holy Ghost of God. It took a miraculous conception. But look back in the book of Isaiah in chapter number 9. Will you go back to your Bible, to the book of Isaiah, and let's look in chapter number 9. I'll call your attention to verse number 6 in Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. Listen to what the Bible says in this passage of Scripture. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish justice, judgment and justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It not only took a miraculous conception, but it takes a miraculous incarnation. You say, Brother Billy, what are you talking about? Notice what it says in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. With that in mind, turn back to chapter number 7 and look at verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Here is this sign. What is this sign? It is an announcement, a validation of a miracle that takes place. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, what? And bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. You're going to have a child who's going to be God with us. A miraculous incarnation. Here it is, this conception, miracle conception, but now a miraculous incarnation. And that is that there's going to be in the womb of this woman, God and man in one person. Emmanuel, God with us. A child, humanity, and a son given. That is his deity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And here in one is God and man. A miraculous incarnation. God made flesh. The Bible said that in the Gospel of John, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, God, flesh, God and flesh, God made into flesh. What an amazing thing, a miraculous incarnation. He came as God in the flesh, God and man joined together. What an amazing thing that God would do that. The Holy Spirit of God working. And the spirit of that man, submissive, here's God and man joined together. Emmanuel, God with us, a son given, a child born, God and flesh together. There's a reason for that. I emphasize it not just this time of the year, but often. He was God. God. Emmanuel was God incarnate in human flesh, the God who spoke the world into existence. He says in John, without him was not anything made that was made. And by him, all things consist. God incarnate in human flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in flesh. Great is that mystery of godliness, that in him the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. Oh, it's a miracle. You say, Brother Bill, can't explain that. I can't explain that. I don't know where I can explain that, but it's a miracle. God incarnate. And I remember what David said, I want to build God a house. And the Lord almost laughed at him. He said, the heavens can't contain me. And how are you going to build me a house that will contain me? But yet the Bible said in him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, what a miracle. The incarnation that God was in the flesh. And as being God, he's a holy thing. The Bible says that that which is conceived, that holy thing, that means without any sin whatsoever, sin of omission or sin of commission, no sin of thought nor action, no sin in nature or practice. He's God, no sin, and he cannot sin because he's God incarnate in human flesh. But he's a man. And he'll grow up and he'll have what we call the sinless infirmities. As God, he's neither weary, nor does he faint. But as man, he became weary and thirsty. As a man, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He was a man. He could weep as a man. He could be hungry as a man. He had what we call the sinless infirmities as a man. He experienced pain. Somehow we think that at the crucifixion that he was immune from all of that because he was God. That's not so. He felt it, and he felt it more intensely than you and I have ever felt it, because he felt not physical pain, but he felt the spiritual pain. He felt the alienation from his Father. The miracle of the incarnation is God in one body, in a human body. I don't know if you can get hold of that or not, but that's a miracle. That's a miracle. It's a miracle of the incarnation. But then turn over to the book, if you will, please, and Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter 26. It took a miracle. For me to be standing here today, it took a miracle. You say, Brother Billy, you're talking about You getting out of the hospital, I believe with all my heart that was a miracle. But that's not the miracle I'm talking about. I'm talking about for me to be here today is a miracle. For you to be here today is a miracle. For you to be saved today is a miracle. For you to have your sins forgiven and the only way to heaven, that's a miracle. And to be heading towards heaven, that's a miracle. And for this body of yours one day to be resurrected and be made like unto His glorious body, that's a miracle. And to be around the throne of God for all eternity, what a miracle. And my dear friend, God wants you to experience every bit of that. But here in this passage of Scripture, look, it took a miracle, the miracle of the conception and the miracle of the incarnation. But look here in Matthew chapter 26. I call your attention, please, to verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into the place called Gethsemane and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Oh, listen, in order for you to be here, for me to be here, it took a miraculous conception, the virgin birth of our Lord. It took a miraculous incarnation, the fusion of God and flesh in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in this passage of Scripture, I note a miraculous dedication. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God of this universe, the one who spoke everything into existence, who took on him the form of a servant, being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto the death of the cross. What an amazing miracle that royalty would step over the battlements of heaven, be clothed in human flesh, and be willing to suffer and bleed and die. I hear people from time to time, and I love football, and some team will get up 45-0, and a commentator just say, it's going to take a miracle for the other team to come back. Can I tell you? That's sports. And when it's over with next week, nobody remember it. But it took a miracle in that garden that night for our Savior to say, if I don't die, they can't live. If I don't die, they'll never come back. If I don't die, they'll never have their sins forgiven. They can never be able to go to heaven. I'll die. What a miracle. The miracle of the dedication of our Lord. I want you to comprehend that and understand that. He is the Creator. He could have just wiped out this whole human race and started again. But He suffered and bled and died. You know why? Because He's not willing that any should perish. He wanted you to be saved. And it was a miracle of dedication on that day when He gave His whole life, gave His being. And the Bible said He made, in Isaiah, He made His soul an offering for sin. I'll quote it again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We say that and we quote it from childhood up to now. And only just a few years ago that I ever really understood what it meant. For God so loved the world that He gave. In just a few days now, you'll be giving gifts. Maybe you've already given some. You'll go to the mall, you'll go to somewhere and you'll buy a gift. And you'll wrap it and you'll give that gift. It may cost you a little bit, maybe $100 or more, whatever. But you'll give that gift out of love. But that's not what that passage of Scripture says. For God so loved the world that He gave, G-A-V-E, gave His Son. That word gave doesn't mean to present a gift. Salvation's a gift. But that word gave means He offered His Son as a sacrifice. You buy a gift because you love somebody. But He let His Son die because He loved us. He offered Him as a sacrifice for sin. He gave, for God so loved you and loved me that He offered His Son a sin offering. He allowed His Son to have to suffer and bleed and die for me and you to pay that sin debt. That's a miracle. That is a miracle. people say, you know, what a miracle, this happened and that happened. God's divine intervention. But can you think about a greater miracle than God letting His Son suffer and bleed and die for you? The miracle of the dedication of our Lord. He's not willing that any should perish, but He came to suffer and bleed and die for Himself. The miracle of dedication. And what happened in that moment when He offered His Son? You remember in the Old Testament when they'd bring that lamb on the day of Passover? That high priest would put his hands on that lamb and he would, in figure, transfer all the sins of the nation of Israel onto that little Passover lamb and on that day of atonement. And what God did on that day on Calvary, He transferred all of my sin and all of your sin onto His Son. And the Bible said God hates sin. He can't even look on sin. And so God, in His omniscience, took and put sin on His Son and then turned His back on His own Son. And Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? What a miracle of dedication. Willing to have all the sins of the world put on Him. Willing to have the Father turn His back on Him. Why? Just so a little boy from a cotton mill town in North Carolina could stand in a pulpit and say, He did that for you. What a miracle. What a miracle. The miracle of the dedication of our Lord. That's not the gospel, though. Not the incarnation. Not the virgin birth. Not the surrender. Not even the crucifixion. That is not the gospel. The gospel is the good news. And the good news is this, that in Matthew, in chapter number 28, when they came to the grave, they said, He is not here. He's risen, as He said. The miraculous resurrection. Oh, it took a miracle. He died for our sin, was buried for our sin, but He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The miracle of the resurrection, thank God, is why we're here today. It took a miracle. The miracle of His sacrificial death, but the miracle of His glorious resurrection, and He's alive forevermore. Thank God He said, I'm He who was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. The miracle of His resurrection. Oh, listen, God performed so many miracles that you can count in the Bible. You can go through and you can read about His miraculous healing of the blind, His healing of the lame. But when you come to those great miracles of the resurrection of the dead, what an astounding picture. There's a weeping mother as she goes down the roadside and her son is in the coffin and he's dead. And she's weeping. And Jesus goes by and He interrupts the funeral and raises the boy up and he goes home with his mama. I see two sisters, I see a leader of that community weeping over his son, his daughter who's dead. And Jesus said, don't you weep. She's going to be alive. And they, when he got to the house and he said, she's just asleep, they laughed at him. And you know what he did? He resurrected Jairus' daughter. He brought her back to life. And then at the tomb of his good friend Lazarus, Mary and Martha weeping, the community weeping, everybody weeping, been dead 4 days. He called him and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out of that grave alive. But now Jesus Himself is dead. He died on that cross. They took Him off, wrapped Him in the linens and laid Him in the grave and put a stone over it. Now He's dead. The resurrector, the one who gives life, the one who raises the dead, He Himself is dead. That wasn't nothing. He resurrected Himself. He came out of the grave and He said, I'm He who is dead. I'm alive forevermore. It was impossible for death to hold Him who is life incarnate in human body. It's God. Hallelujah. The miracle of the resurrection. But here's the gospel. Here's the gospel. Because He lived, you can live also. He's alive forevermore. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And He said, I'll send to the Father and I'll make intercession for you day and night, forever and forever. And if you call on me, I'll answer. And He said, everything you ever need, I'll give to you. He's alive. The miracle of the resurrection. But can I say to you, there's another miracle. Turn over in the book of Ephesians. It took a miracle. It took the miracle of the conception. It took the miracle of the incarnation. The miracle of His dedication. It took the miracle of his resurrection. But here's another miracle in the book of Ephesians, where you find Ephesians, if you will, please, in chapter number 2. Very familiar passage of scripture. Notice what it said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened. That word quickened means made alive. Made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, it was a wonderful thing when he resurrected Lazarus, when he raised Jairus' daughter, when he raised that widow woman's son, when he raised himself. What a wonderful miracle. But there's another miracle. There's a miracle in me. And there's a miracle in you if you know him. Because there was a day you were dead in trespasses and sin. Dead in trespasses and sin. There was none that doeth good, no, not one. That all of our righteousness was filthy rags. And we didn't seek God. We weren't seeking him. He sought us. He came to where we were. And it says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That we were dead in trespasses and sin, living according to the dictates of flesh, condemned already, on our way to hell already, in bondage to sin already, and no hope except for verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved, and has raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. The miracle of the conception and the miracle of the incarnation. The miracle of dedication where he gives his life. The miracle of resurrection where the sin debt's been paid and he's alive. And because he lives, we can live also. But then there's this great miracle. It's the miracle of regeneration, given new life. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not recapped. Not conformed or changed. But you must have a brand new birth. Regeneration. New life. And that's what he did for us. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And he birthed us. He made us a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. He gave us eternal life. And that old nature that we had that caused us to live in sin, Peter says, we became partakers of a divine nature. Oh, listen, on that cross, he imputed all our sin to him. But in regeneration, he imputes all of Christ's righteousness to us. All of God's goodness is on us. And when God the Father looks at us, he sees his dear Son. And we are perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a miracle. Oh, listen. It took a miracle to hang the stars in space. It took a miracle. But when he saved my soul, and when he made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. You have experienced a miracle this morning if you're saved. If you've experienced that miracle, would you raise your hand? He's been good to you and he's been good to me. Thank you. If you haven't experienced that, you can do it today. Oh, you say, Brother Billy, I can't live the life. That's why it takes a miracle. You say, Brother Billy, you know what I've done. You know how wicked I am. That's why it takes a miracle. It is a miracle that anybody in this building is saved, but a miracle is possible when God steps in. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He'll save you now. Hey, you say, Brother Billy, how do you know that? Because the Bible said he's no respecter of persons. Whosoever will may come. Anybody, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want to be changed, oh, I can't do it. You can't do it. We're dead. Dead people don't accomplish a whole lot. I don't know if you ever noticed that or not, but dead people can't accomplish a thing in the world. But my dear friend, here's a miracle. God can raise us up. It's the miracle of the new birth, and it'll take a miracle, but that miracle is available. That's why he died on that cross. That's why he gave himself a ransom. That's why he said, not my will, but thine be done, so that you could experience a miracle today. Would you bow your heads in prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed, it took a miracle. It took a miracle. I want you to listen. Brother Brad's going to sing that song again. And if you've ever been there, if you remember where you were and how often you tried to do right and how often you tried to quit and start and how many times you failed and you'd weep at night and say, I don't ever want to do that again, and yet you did it the next day. And then one day, one day, you heard the gospel that there'd been a miraculous conception, that was a miraculous incarnation, that there was a miraculous dedication and surrender and death, but there was a miraculous resurrection making possible a miracle regeneration. Let's stand together. If you're here this morning, you've been thanking him for everything. Maybe when God called me to preach, I for all these years, I've gone on it like I was fighting a fire. I just wanted to do something else and more, and just try to do more and more and more. But in the last few weeks, months, God's brought me to a place where I can't really do. But I got an idea that he really didn't want me to do. He just wanted me to praise him. You said, Brother Bill, I failed him so much. I know I've experienced a miracle, but I failed him. I tell you, I believe God gives us this time of the year. Help us to understand we don't need to do. I believe we ought to be faithful. We ought to be good stewards. We ought to be busy. I know that. But I think our greatest failure is we don't thank him for the miracle in us. Had it not been for the Lord, most of us, many of us, would be in hell right now. I spoke to Timmy Benson this morning, spoke to Erskine out in the hall. I've heard them tell little bits about when they were boys. In fact, they're here this morning. It's a miracle, God's divine providence. But it's not just God keeping us from having car wrecks or doing stupid stuff and killing ourselves. He said, in divine intervention, while we were yet dead in sin, he came to where we were. And he miraculously saved us. I think some of us ought to get around this altar and thank him for that this morning. And if you're not saved this morning, there's no excuse. The only reason you're not saved is because you will not come to him that you might have life. Because he can save anybody. He is a God of miracles. With God, all things are possible. And this miracle can be yours today. If you're here this morning, you said, Brother Bill, I've never been saved. But it sure take a miracle to change me, to make me brand new. Well, that's what he specializes in, miracles. But I sure would love to pray with you. No one's looking, every head's bowed. Would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, will you pray for me that I could be saved today? I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Would you raise your hand across this building? Never been saved, but I want to be saved today. I need that miracle you're talking about. I want to be saved today. Thank God it took a miracle. I want us to worship Heavenly Father. I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would do that which no man can do. God, convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Draw some man, some woman, some boy, some girl. And I pray, God, they'll step out and receive their miracle of everlasting life. Thank you for these many around the altar who come today to thank you for the miracle in their life.